Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? This is a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
No, incorrect. No Isaac Ropp. Yes, Jason Sakanik. Also Will Ortner. I am Ryan Buckley here filling in for Ropp today. He will be back on a Thursday.
But it's really not me. You're pretty much flying solo at this point.
It is because you're going to subject yourself to some torture.
Yeah, I'm going to hate watch the Red Wings Canadians game.
They won last night.
While simultaneously hate watching the Capitals Flyers. It's the last game of the regular season.
Well, Swag would say, here's the situation.
And we think the Red Wings, who suck.
Have to win.
And I hate them. They have to win, and we need Washington to lose.
And that's the only way.
That's the only way. If the Capitals tie, then yes. But if the Capitals win, it doesn't matter. Detroit is out.
So Capitals have to lose or lose an OT.
The Capitals and the Red Wings are tied. The Capitals own every tiebreaker against them. So there's actually four teams right now. It's kind of a fun day in hockey. The Capitals, the Flyers, the Red Wings, and the Penguins all are still alive for the last playoff spot. So if the easiest scenario is if Washington loses and Detroit wins, Detroit's in. If Washington wins, then it doesn't matter. They're in no matter what. And then there's some other scenarios with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia where if they get some breaks going their way. But chances are it's going to be the Red Wings or the Capitals.
The Canadians
suck. And the Red Wings were down two goals with like 5 minutes to play last night and found a way to tie the damn game and then win in overtime to give themselves a chance, which only means that they're going to kick me square in the balls tonight. And watch Washington lose, and then they're going to lose to the Red Wings will find a way to lose to the crappy Canadians.
So basically, you're already doom and gloom, and I'm losing you for the next rest of however.
I have approximately 1% faith that the Red Wings are going to do anything productive tonight. They will be down by a goal within 3 minutes, and I will throw something. So I haven't cared for like a decade because the Red Wings suck.
But then at the very end, they pull you back in.
Well, like they've been terrible. And so you just go into the season knowing that they're terrible. This year it was like, maybe. And then they were like red hot for a while for right before the All-Star break. They were like one of the hottest teams in the NHL. And I was like, well, maybe they can make a run. And then they Charlie Browned it. And I fully expect them to not make the playoffs for like the ninth year in a row. So there you go.
Well, coming up later this hour, some NBA playoff updates. The Bucks may be a bit shorthanded, and that's starting to be concerning if you're Dame Lillard and company. Additionally, we'll get to, in the news, have robot dogs and sunset news for you. Yeah. And we'll have some MLB musings. But before we get into any of that, a story that came about maybe 2 weeks ago about from a group called College Sports Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this was the first reports of a group potentially trying to break away and create a college football super league. So we've seen some of the writing on the wall with realignment and whatnot, with the SEC and Big Ten really bolstering what they have, and people saying, oh, we're inevitably going to two super divisions. And now there's a group that is essentially saying, we have an idea about how to do that. And so we knew that was something that was being talked about. Now we have some more details to it. So Sportico is a company that, that reports on a lot of sports contracts, league contracts, things like that.
I follow them on Twitter.
They got a hold of the pitch deck for this, or at least the details of what it would look like. It was 11 slides in a deck, but there were a handful of new revelations that we didn't have before that were not previously reported. So those include a specific plan for sharing broadcast revenue with the players,
which eventually is probably going to have to happen, because the unionization, the lawsuits, we've already seen. Was it Dartmouth?
Yes.
That won theirs.
Yep.
By the way, just yesterday, or might have been, yeah, I think it was yesterday, Monday, the USC case just picked up again in court.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so there's another union, the National Labor Board for that area in California. They're just started to hear arguments in that USC case. That one has real potential, because remember, they're arguing that not just USC are professional athletes, but they're going with the conference and the school, where if USC won theirs, it would mean public and private universities.
Okay.
So right now, the Ivy League one was just private universities.
Sure.
And USC is a private university.
Yep.
But the lawsuit is saying that no, USC may be private, but the conference that they play in is
has
not.
Has public institutions.
And
yeah.
So therefore, the ramifications would be much greater. So this one with USC could have serious implications of other public universities threatening to unionize.
Got it. Okay.
And if they unionize, then yes, they would have to collectively bargain, and that kind of ends the whole charade of amateur, and that's where revenue sharing and some form of that is coming eventually.
And so, and this is where, and we'll get back to the revenue sharing in a second. They had an interesting outline for that you frankly kind of laughed at, because you don't think there's any way that we're
some of this stuff that they're throwing out is so stupid. You know, it's like when a reporter asked the mayor of Tulleton, hey, would you like the NFL?
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, Ohio State and Alabama, would you like to make less money and be less powerful so that more teams can have a shot at winning? Yeah. Where do you sign up? It's some of the proposals are really silly in this thing.
So among them is they said the revenue sharing is based on the class of each player.
Yeah.
So that rostered freshmen would get 5% of the revenue share. Yeah. Sophomores 15%, juniors 30%, and 50% share for the seniors and graduate students. And then additionally, they're talking about things like having an NIL roster cap or a salary cap for your NIL that says you can't go over this much, but also if you don't use 80% of it for 2 years in a row, we'll relegate you. Relegation part of it as well.
Hey, Ohio State and Alabama and LSU, would you like a salary cap? Would you like to have to spend the exact same amount of money that Iowa spends?
Ohio State reportedly just spent $34 million constructing their roster and coaching staff.
Yeah.
You think Rutgers is doing that?
No.
No.
So that's first.
And do you think Ohio State wants Rutgers doing that?
That's again, it's a non-starter. Even the pain of the different the freshman, junior, senior thing. Even that's going to be a rough challenge when considering so many of the best players in college football
leave before they're seniors.
Yeah.
Is there any merit to, if the piece of the pie is big enough, that'll incentivize people to stay longer?
Possible. You could throw that out there.
Yeah.
But again, this would all have to be agreed to. And I'm not certain that athletes are going to say that if Caleb Williams is saying, whoa, I'm the best player in college football, I just won the Heisman Trophy, but I get a smaller piece because I'm young. I'm not certain that would fly, but it's not as egregious as the idea that you're forcing the big boys to play on a quote fairer set of rules.
So They also outlined how they would see the whole country divided up as far as divisions, conferences, et cetera. And they did it all by geographic region. So now we're reestablishing all the conferences that we already had that we've blown up and torn apart. But
sure.
But basically, you're getting 7 10-team conferences with what they're calling an underleague division of teams striving for promotion.
So you're just putting back the old conferences that had died. You'd bring back the old Big Eight. You'd bring back the Pac-10.
So the West, the 10 teams in the West would be Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, Oregon, Oregon State, Stanford, UCLA, USC, Washington, Washington State. So it doesn't include Utah and Colorado. You're back to the old Pac-10.
Back to the old Pac-10.
And then your underleague division looks like some of the group of five powerhouse teams, the Boise State, James Madison, Liberty, Miami of Ohio, teams that have done it before that are trying to seek promotion, and then they have penalties for relegation for the teams that aren't making it.
So their idea is those 10 teams would fight for two spots to move up.
Correct.
And the teams that are in the 70 would never be subject to going
that would remain. It's that two teams are fighting to be part of the 70. It would also end in a 16 team tournament every year, 16 team bracket, which feels like we're going that way anyways.
And some of that is a framework for something that could get done. But again, you're asking people that are beyond power hungry to give up control. Why would the SEC and the Big Ten right now that do whatever the hell they want, why would they ever give up any sort of control? I mean, it makes no sense. We talked about this a little bit. The only way that anything like this ever comes about is simply if the lawsuits bring the NCAA to its knees.
And that's just it. I think that there are other good ideas in here. But again, we've said this on this show many times. Can you get stuff through the courts? Can you make it through all the legal barriers? Because there's another one. They want to address transfers here. And I think we've talked about how all the transfers and the rampant transferring hasn't been great for the sport. A lot of the players, they're not, more productive in the next place that they go. We're just seeing kind of the crumbling or erosion of a handful of, or not a handful, but a lot of backups and role players and things like that. In this scenario, they want the teams to have 85 roster spots, but only a maximum of 70 scholarship slots. 50 of those would have to go to players who were recruited directly by the program out of high school, and then 20 could be transfers. So you basically, you can't build a roster off of transfers.
Again, why? Why would any of the power brokers in college football ever agree to any of this? I mean, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to
They're trying to put guardrails in for something that has gone off the rails, I think.
But again, why would any, you're basically...
The toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube.
No. So why don't I go to the rich people that live in Camas and be like, hey, I'd like to be rich and for you to be less rich. So if we could do this thing where you could give up a lot of what you have, and then I would get more, and then therefore we'd be more even. Does anyone think that works at all when you float that out in areas like, I don't know, the South or the Midwest or the Rust Belt where college football is really popular? That doesn't really seem to jive real well.
Well, we saw it not jive well today. I mean, Jonathan asked for this with your car.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing. You are the Ohio State of the Portland metro area.
And he is
car
Rutgers,
community.
And he just wants a little joy and a free ride.
That's Oregon State, and you're Ohio State, and you're kicking Oregon State to the curb.
And you'd have to also, I mean, the real challenge of this to me is how you get this thing collectively bargained. Because, in leagues, right, it's simple. You have 30 to 32 teams. You have one commissioner. You have the 30, 32 owners. And we all get together at a table and, hey, here's our money and this 50% for you, 51 or 49% for you, 51% for me. Right. It's fairly simple. Right. And there's rules in place that get voted on by, the competition committee. And that goes to, at any given point, you have 32 people, right, that are making decisions. You're dealing now with, you're asking for 80 teams to come together with 85 athletes on that team, 100 when you deal with walk-ons, and you're asking university presidents that don't know squat about any of this.
Yeah, this is never getting done, is it?
And you're asking them all to come together and put some sort of cohesive thing that works for LSU and Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan and Oregon and Washington and USC, but also works for Rutgers and Washington State.
Kansas State.
And Kansas. You know, it's... Like, there's a little Pollyanna in this.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's pie in the sky. It's optimistic. It's wishful, a lot of it. What I wrestle with is, what does progress look like for college football? Because if you can't get some of these wholesale changes done because they're unrealistic, because no one's going to agree to them, what are the things that you can get done?
Well, again, this is somewhat of a moot point until the lawsuits work their way through court.
Yeah.
If the NCAA and the universities are found liable for damages, like, there's a couple lawsuits right now that are suing for basically back NIL pay, right?
Okay.
And going back a couple years, and some people are saying that those damages could be to the tune of like $4 billion. Like, if that happens, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you could see just athletic budgets and universities across the board just gone.
Yeah.
You're going to see schools that are going to look at this and be like, "What? Oh, yeah, I'm not paying that, so we're done. We're out." So, like, that... And even when you did that, there are still going to be schools, the big boys, that are going to be willing to pay, and they're still going to be the ones driving the bus. Because in order for something like this to happen, you would have to get all of these universities and all of these athletic programs and presidents to agree that one person, or at least a committee of let's say 5 to 10 people, have everyone's best interest, and then somehow get all of those athletes and all of those teams and all those conference to get one labor board guy, or at least, you know, the 5 or 6 maybe that represent each conference, to come together. I mean, it's such a monumental task to even think about what that looks like.
It's all way easier in theory than it is in execution.
Yes.
Period.
The easiest way that this happens is simply the lawsuits just bomb the universities out of business. And it gets raised to the ground, and then you're forced to raise everything up. The other one that you could have is some sort of settlement, and that's the one that I've heard, is that could you get enough universities to get together that settle this case that says, hey, we're all going to pony up X amount of dollars, and if you pony up X amount of dollars, you get to play in the next realm.
Okay.
It's a pay-to-play thing. We're settling this thing for, let's say, $1 billion,
okay,
right? Who's in for $40 million? If you're in for $50 million, cool. You get to play, and we're going to pay this thing off. And even then, you're still going to have to come up with some sort of congressional ruling to either get around antitrust laws or, again, collectively bargain. It's almost an impossibility to see what the future looks like, other than eventually there'll be some form of governing body and some form of collective bargain revenue sharing. There has to be some form of that. What that looks like, I still think a lot of universities are holding out hopes that they can still keep a form of the NCAA around. Because remember, the NCAA, you can say, doesn't make sense for college football. But without the NCAA, there's no basketball tournament.
Yeah.
There's no baseball tournament. There's no volleyball tournament. There's none of that. And if you don't fund the NCAA through football or basketball, there's no money to put any of those things on.
Yep.
So... ideally, if you're asking me what would be the best for college sports, and I'm saying somewhat status quo, someone in the federal government to give them antitrust protection with some form of revenue sharing, where a big pool goes in from all the different conferences, and if you're in that conference, you get a different split depending on conference. But and then if you get antitrust protection, then you could sign contracts where NIL deals or transfer deals would be enforceable. You could actually sign a contract with a school and saying, hey, I'm signing to a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. And that would solve the transfer problem,
mm-hmm,
right? Because you could actually sign a kid to a legally binding contract. And then you could still hold some form of amateurism. But that can't happen unless college sports gets antitrust protection and they stop getting their ass handed to them in court. So
it's a long road ahead, is what you're saying.
Yeah, none of this is going to be solved in a year. None of this is going to be solved in 2 years, because even if these cases get settled, or not get settled, but like there's a judgment involved, there's going to be appeals, and it's just... I know no one wants to hear it. I know Rob gets real pissed, but you're probably looking at 5 to 10 years of just slugging this out and then begrudgingly somewhere down the road being forced into a corner that makes sense. But if you listen, go find Charlie Baker, who's the president of the NCAA. If you listen to him speak, he actually, I think, has a pretty good take on this whole thing and is trying – to move this in the right direction. It's just, it was so botched before, and there's so many lawsuits that they're facing, and they lose every single time in court, that it's really neutered them to where, until the legal issues get settled, the NCAA can do nothing.
All right, we are way over, but with good reason. Coming up next, bottom of the hour, the NBA playoffs get started, how the Knicks pitched LeBron, and the hot take from the national networks that has Sook Steeman. That's next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, turn and burn here as we're a little bit up against it, but the playoff play-in starting in just a matter of moments. When you came in today, though, Sook, you said that you heard one hot take circulating today that you could not believe. There were a suggestion of tanking in a playoff play-in?
This is how stupid the coverage of the NBA is. I've talked about it, and this was J.J. Redick's whole point why he's trying to launch that X's and O's basketball podcast with LeBron James. Yeah, the Red Wings are already losing. I'm not laughing at you. I just can't. Really? You can't.
Only 12
you
minutes
can't
in.
Beat the Montreal. I hate that team. And I hate the coverage of the NBA. Because his whole point was the takes in the NBA are so ridiculous and so drama high school BS laden. I heard from three national shows today, one on TV, two on the radio, that all had a debate. And I thought Tim Legler, by the way, I thought he was going to hurt someone. Like, you could almost see him just melting and being like, are we really going to do this? The idea was that the Lakers...
I occasionally get this from you in Stockwatch. When you're like, no, what? No, no.
There was the debate. Could or should the Lakers tank tonight? Lose to the Pelicans? Who, by the way, they've played really well against this year. They're a terrible matchup for the Pelicans, right? By the way, if they win that game, they're in. Like, they're in the playoffs if they beat New Orleans.
Yep.
And they hammer New Orleans. Bad matchup
for the Pelicans. Yeah, if you win, you get the 7 seed and you play the Nuggets.
So the idea was, should or could the Lakers throw the game against New Orleans on purpose, just lay down, and then force a one-game do-or-die playoff against the Sacramento Kings, who I believe have beat you 5 times in a row, and Golden State, that I think has won 3 of 4, including the last time where they just alley-whooped your ass.
Yeah, boat-raced them.
To set up a one-game playoff that if somehow you lose against two teams that have kicked your ass this year, you're done. You are out. Also that you can play the Oklahoma City Thunder and not the Denver Nuggets. That was a real debate that was had on three national shows.
It is a mini 4-team double elimination tournament in which the suggestion was lose your first game on purpose.
Lose your first game on purpose. That's how stupid some of the NBA coverage is. Like, just the idea that and that I constantly hear from every one of these dumbasses how dangerous the Lakers are. Like, and by the way, in the same segment that they debated this, at the end of it, I hand to God, they were like, well, you know, if there's one team that can give the Denver Nuggets problems, it's probably the Lakers. You know, they went toe-to-toe with them last year. No, they didn't. They got their ass handed to them in the playoffs. And if they can handle the Denver Nuggets and you think that that's a team that can give them problems, why on God's green earth would you tank and put yourself in an elimination to avoid the Denver Nuggets? I swear, it's just, It's so stupid. It's unbelievable.
It's detached from reality. No team is thinking that.
What they're doing is they are looking at the regular season matchups and going, well, the Lakers have performed the best against OKC, so that must be what they'd want to do. It's really, they didn't have anything to talk about in the B segment.
But how is there nothing
segment.
To talk about?
That's what they're doing. They're trying to find something that no one else is talking about. The problem is that they all think that they're really smart, but really they found the same talking
Wouldn't it
point.
Be awesome if the Lakers just lost a game and then put themselves in a do-or-die situation against two teams that just have kicked your ass? Cool. Yeah, great. Great idea. Thanks, Stephen A. Jeebus, people.
And then
we wonder why people like get bored with the NBA. That's the debate you're having? The playoffs start tonight. The NBA playoffs start tonight. And that was a debate that was had over multiple platforms. I wish you could go and look it up. Go just find, I'm not allowed to be critical of one of the shows. Just go listen and find Tim Legler and see his face when it's brought up. And Tim Legler just, what? And then like he couldn't just rip someone a new one. So he had to be like, well, as a competitor, you wouldn't do it. You know, he just wanted to be like you wanted to pull the Happy Gilmore. That was the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
We will get to LeBron and the Knicks, the pitch the Knicks made to him in 2010 a little bit later. We've got to get to in the news coming up, Sunset News, a public school bus ride gone wrong, and Spirit, the mountain robot dog. That's all coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time, an SOB edition. Suk Ortner and Buck. It is Tuesday, April 16th. It is time for In the News. I'm your stand-in newsman. Your regular newsman will be back on Thursday. Let's see. Today, Suk, is National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
Don't do that.
No, but you could.
Stop wearing your pajamas out in public, by the way. Don't do that.
Especially the gym. It's dumb.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wait, who's wearing their PJs to the gym?
Lots,
like,
it's a big thing.
Is
with
it like flannel pants or something?
Yeah,
it's my generation. As a leader of my generation, I should not allow it. But it's my people.
Well,
I'm
do
sorry.
Something about it, then, man.
I try not to do too many like old men, young. You know, like young people are doing their own thing. But at some point, you're going to look back and be like, "My God, why? You're not in bed." There's better pants. There's athleisure pants. There's better. There's joggers. We've come a long way. Don't wear pajama pants.
Also, who wears pajama pants to bed? Everyone just wears shorts or underwear or nothing. No one wears pajama pants. They're
fake. We don't live in Minnesota. That's
no, yeah. When I see you out and about wearing pajama pants, I often do them.
I think you're a loser.
It is also National Eggs Benedict Day. You a Benedict man?
I don't mind it. Now, unfortunately, I never get it because there's just other things on the breakfast menu. The Eggs Benedict is like eighth down my list of things that I would order at a breakfast restaurant. The only way I would get it is if, like, you go to a place. There was a place in New Orleans that we were at a while back, and it was like, that was like that you need to have.
Was that the Duck Hash Benedict? I think I've had that one.
Yeah, where they're like, they're telling you like this. Yeah. And so when that's the only way. Other than that, there's better options, but it's fine.
I think of a Benedict. I think it's a breakfast dish that if it's. It's hard to do well because the egg's got to be perfect and the hollandaise has to be good.
Yeah.
And so restaurants that try it that aren't great at it, that's a big bummer when you get one of those. So if it's going to be good, I'd put it towards the very top of my list of things I'm going to order. But often it's not, so you got to pick your spots a little bit. Also,
breakfast might be my most competitive meal of the day.
Like as far as pitting dishes against each other?
Yeah, it's vicious.
Like what's that Thunderdome looking like?
Dude, it is a battle royale. I mean, you got everything from, you got a one seed like in a chicken fried steak if you feel like just being a gluttonous piece of, you know, crap.
I can't do that. I don't like the way it tastes, but man, I cannot do that for breakfast.
Of course, we're going to get some crispy hash in there. Okay. I got omelets happening. I got scrambles. We haven't even started talking about delicious French toast, mm-hmm. That big like brioche French toast. There's so many good things happening there. I got meat choices. I got Biscuits and gravy. Again, you throw in an Eggs Benedict. Someone will throw a breakfast Sammy at me.
Waffles.
Yep.
So, I mean.
Pancakes.
It really is. It's like a WWE Royal Rumble. I don't know who's winning that thing.
Yeah, you can do a nice scramble or a skillet.
Yes.
Yeah. It is also, and I know you'll appreciate this, Day of the Mushroom, a mushroom celebration day.
What kind of mushrooms are we talking about?
I think all kinds of fungi. Both the magic and the nutritious.
I don't like the nutritious kind.
I love the nutritious kind.
If I'm consuming mushrooms, it's not for my cholesterol or health or whatever. No, it's doing it for other things. That's when I'm at Disney World by myself.
True story, the only time I have ever done mushrooms, I was in a taxi or an Uber home in San Francisco's North Beach, and there was a 4-alarm fire across the street from my house. That was the wrong time to be tripping.
Yeah, that was
like whole building up in flames. Me looking out the window, thinking I'm coming home to this. Like what?
Yeah, that was when I had to run out of the Muppets 3D movie.
Got too much for you, did it?
Yeah, I did. There was a group of individuals that saw a grown man that looks like me in an arm sling stand up and run out of the Muppets 3D experience. Couldn't handle it. And then once I was in my backyard and it was late, and I was sitting around my fire pit when I realized after an hour or two, I hadn't actually lit the fire and it was freezing cold. And it's a process. I realized, why am I so cold? Then I went through this existential crisis of why can't the fire burn me? And it was the whole thing. And then I realized I was sitting in front of an empty fire pit. So that.
Go Mushroom Day.
Working through some things. It happens.
How do we feel about sunsets?
Love good sunsets.
Well, I'm here to tell you that from this week on until August, the sun will set after 8 p.m. in the Portland metro area from now until the end of the summer.
A little twilight golf, a little late night backyard barbecue.
Yep.
God, those long summer evenings, freaking fantastic. It's this. Say what you will about Portland from December, you know, November, December, but like this next 4 to 5 months, one of the best places in the world.
Totally agree. And then I have an interesting story here from Portland Public Schools. A substitute bus driver.
Not me.
Accidentally dropped off two special needs kids 7 miles from where they were supposed to be dropped off from home.
Whoa.
So they're supposed to be dropped off in the Pearl District. They got dropped off at Northeast 92nd and Gleason.
That's not good. Like,
no.
Can I ask the question? Look, I don't know how. Like, there's varying degrees of special needs. But I'm assuming that with special needs kids, having been a special needs camp counselor, thank you very much, for one glorious summer, I'm assuming that you can't just let those children off on a corner and be like, good luck.
Well, that is essentially what the substitute bus driver did. But students Ruby and Lucy Day were ultimately very resourceful, and they figured things out. It says neither one of them had cell phones, so they walked 10 blocks to the Burgerville on 82nd Avenue and asked a staff there for directions to the TriMet bus. And then their mother, Emily, said that those daughters knew how to take the TriMet and the MAX train, and they were able to then eventually catch a streetcar home. So,
all right, so maybe we're like, you know, on the spectrum somewhere.
Sure.
You know, like it was autism. It was, you know, because special needs can be a lot of different things. Kudos to those kids. And by the way, that bus driver, F you, man.
It says the two live less than a mile from Lincoln High School. And then they got dropped off like way. So
did the kids not raise a hand and be like, no? And the bus driver's like, I don't care.
I'm not sure if they were just into their routine and they just were like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And this is my bus and it's my number. And so they didn't ask questions. That's unclear, but their mother was obviously very concerned, but proud of the daughters for figuring it out.
I would be livid.
Yeah.
Livid at said bus driver. And just because something didn't happen doesn't mean that something couldn't.
That's what she says. She says, quote, it makes me feel very scared. It makes me worry that something could have happened to them that was a lot worse than
that. I'm glad that the kids are resourceful, and go those kids. That's badass. They're out there getting stuff done. And maybe it was a grand adventure for him, too.
You never know.
Yeah.
Just like you and the Muppet movie.
Yeah, don't do that. Well, at the end of it, they have the big, giant, fluffy he's like the Snuffleupagus guy that's in the original Muppet movie that's running Kermit around.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. I never remember his name, but I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, in the Muppet movie, at the end of it, he jumps through the screen, like at the movie, you know? And then he's like, guys, I'm here. Well, in this one, like, it's the 3D movie, and then at the end, he actually jumps through the screen. They have the physical puppet, and there's no good. It went from being a 3D experience to nope, No, it was out.
Got I was scared by a puppet, huh?
Not just scared, terrified. I ran outside and I had to go sit down and take a time out. Called home and was like, we need to take.
Don't watch Jeff Dunham, bro.
Nah, it was not. It wasn't good. It was a bad experience.
Would you like to meet Spirit the Robot Dog?
Yeah, let's go.
We'll do that next. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The listeners are in the Vancouver text line. Sweetums is that Muppet?
Yes.
I'm telling you, look up Sweetums. Like, when you're just sitting around tonight, look up Sweetums and then imagine that thing bursting through the screen.
Not the figure you want attacking you when you're on some psychedelics.
You can't do that. There needs to be a warning. Disney needs to put up a warning that's like, no. Like, objects may appear in front of you. It's just, it's a bad beat.
Well, speaking of warnings, I know that you've both watched a little Black Mirror in your day, the Netflix show.
They're not still making those, are they?
They just had some come out in, like, July. There was, like, four of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a couple one-offs. Like, not full seasons, I don't think, but there was a black-and-white episode some years ago with a robot dog, and robot dogs taking over. Did you guys happen to see that one?
I remember that. Yeah, without the head, there was, like, the weird Boston Electronic.
Yep.
I forget. Is it, like, it's some technical company out of Boston.
Yeah, Boston Dynamics,
Boston
I think.
Boston Dynamics,
is that what
that's
they're called?
What it is.
Yeah. So,
and they're like headless robot dogs. They're terrifying.
Anyhow, well, if you are up traversing Mount Hood, you may see one of these dogs because Oregon State University engineers are part of a NASA-funded collaborative effort to help train Spirit the robot dog how to traverse difficult terrain that could eventually be used for robots going on the moon and Mars.
Oh, yeah, so, I see this thing. Again, it's terrifying, and eventually this thing will end up killing us all. Like, can they give the dog a head or make it look less menacing? Because the problem is they're doing these robot dogs. I see Spirit here. But it's a headless dog, so it just looks like a weird just this weird head that's been decapitated. Put a friendly little dog head on the front of it so that it makes it seem less terrifying.
They've come up with a creative acronym to name it the LASSIE Project, which is Legged Autonomous Surface Science in Analog Environments Project.
Again, put a little robot head that looks like LASSIE on there, and I think we'd all be more rational about it.
Yeah, also maybe a kill switch that's really easy for us to all see. You know, just hit that button and we're done here.
Well, I mean, can't we all think about, like, because they're saying that this is for, like, Mars or whatever. Yeah. I just feel like this one day you're going to be hiking on Mount Hood and this thing's just going to come for you. Imagine, like, being out on a steep hill somewhere and you just see this thing, like, mountain goating its way up to you. And it's making a beeline for you. It's terrifying.
It says that very little of the moon's surface has actually been explored, and so they're trying to offer different types of terrain, snow, water, all the types of stuff that Mount Hood would provide. And it says the team foresees Spirit working with other robots, like a wheeled rover that can navigate long distances, or a hexapedal robot that has even better mobility. So it's a robot that'll team up with robots, even scarier.
I'm putting an idea out there. You can't call something a dog that's headless. Like, you can't.
Well, you call the headless horseman a horseman.
And technically they're calling it a robot, a dog-like robot.
See, dog-like, can we just call it a four-legged robot?
Yeah.
I don't like...
Because that's what it is. It's not a dog.
Yeah, we're throwing out a dog. Like, I couldn't be like, hey, I bought you a dog, and then show up
give
with
you a robot?
Give you a decapitated... Like, if I showed up with a dog that was missing a head and be like, hey, I got you a dog. No, I didn't. That's not what that is.
Sounds like you murdered a dog.
So
exactly.
They're also taking these robots down to the San Diego Zoo Safari Park as well as White Sands National Park in New Mexico. Other universities involved include USC, Texas A&M, and Penn.
Yeah, this has a real Predator sort of vibe to it where one day they're going to come for you. Those things are going to be unleashed upon you.
And that's exactly what Black Mirror was trying to tell us. So I'm with you. Well, as much as I would like to explore outer space, I don't want to teach these things too much.
Remember, was it Minority Report with Tom Cruise? Mm-hmm. They had the spiders.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah, they had the little robot spiders that came crawling after you. Robot animals.
Mm-mm. That think for themselves? No. No. It's got to be remote controlled.
I know this is weird, but like the Terminator may be scary, but the robot animal way scarier. Like if I had to face like a humanoid robot coming at me or like a robot lion, I'm fighting the human. Or the robot humanoid thing. I don't there's something about it. Next thing you know, we just the robot dinosaurs, you got a robot like T-Rex coming at you, a robot velociraptor. I don't like it. It's bad news.
And then finally, technically a follow-up story here. Do you remember when the Beaverton mayor got hit with child porn charges?
I do remember that.
Well, Danny Doyle has violated his probation, and so he's going back to jail.
Yeah. You would think it's not that hard to...
to not do
not
that stuff anymore?
Your child porn probation? But
arrested by the U.S. Marshal Service and booked on Monday afternoon. So it doesn't say what old Denny was up to, but he was sentenced in early 2023 to 6 months in federal prison and then given 5 years probation on supervised release. But he's messed that up somehow.
Yeah.
Stop being a creep, man.
By the way, only 6 months for child porn?
Yeah,
I always thought child porn was like... like a serious, like that you went away for some time.
I don't know the details of like having it versus like procuring it versus. I think there are, it's all horrible. I think, like we've talked about with assaults and things like that, there are layers to them and different varying degrees. It's all disgusting. It's all not good. But apparently, whatever he did was good enough for just 6 months in prison. So.
Yeah,
probably going back for more now, though.
I was reading here, and I think they're trying to claim that he's not allowed to use a computer and that he was using a computer, but he's claiming he was using it for non-porn reasons. He was saying he was, like, trying to pay bills or something. But, yeah, I guess when you get hit with the child porn, they...
they take that pretty serious?
Yeah, they don't allow you to use... You're not allowed to get on the interwebs. I think that's part of the condition is you've lost your... You're like a five-year-old kid. You've lost your internet privileges.
Yeah, he probably doesn't need to get them back really anytime soon. And I think most of those bills that you need to pay, you can call an 800 number and punch that in on your Touchtone keypad. That is your In the News for Tuesday, April 16th. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5. We'll also get to the pitch to LeBron James from the New York Knicks. You have to hear about the details to believe them. And additionally, some baseball musings, some strange things going on in the American League, specifically in the AL West. We'll get to all that coming up. You're listening to Primetime here on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.